everyone. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance, a quick shot of romance. I am Becky, and joining me for this episode is Lindsay. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi, Becky.
So we are going to tackle a very viral and popular book. It started out as an indie published book and was recently picked up by TradPub. So on this episode of A Quick Shot of Romance, we are reviewing Butcher and Blackbird by Bryn Weaver. This is book one in the Ruinous Love trilogy. But each book is its own couple. It isn't like there. As far as I can tell, after reading book one, there isn't an overarching storyline other than the three brothers.
I guess we'll find out. But yeah, I think it's just the three brothers. It seems like they're going to read as standalones, yeah, even though it's being considered as a trilogy.
It's weird that it was called a trilogy. Because typically when we have trilogy, that means there's going to be some kind of overarching storyline and not a satisfying HEA. So I will say by the end of Butcher and Blackbird, the story for me with these two characters was complete. Rowan and Sloane's story was complete. I wasn't looking for anything else with them.
No. I was glad it was over.
Okay, well, Lindsay's got big feels here, guys. So we will link the synopsis of this book on our on-the-shelf show notes at buzzingaboutromance.com. Release date was October 23rd, 2023. Tropes, he's an anti-hero. She's actually an anti-hero. Because they both do not change their ways. As we learned in our anti-hero villain Morally Gray episode, anti-heroes, their character arc does not necessarily change. A villain, their personality, they would have a character arc that required some kind of change within themselves. This is close proximity, danger, stalker, kidnapping. This is dark, grumpy sunshine, sort of. It is tagged as grumpy sunshine. I don't feel that it was true grumpy sunshine.
No sunshine. It is more, it should have been marketed as a horror rom-com.
Well, I think it is. I think it is.
Because the rom-com elements of it, like, it is very comedic. It is horror, it's grotesque, it's very comedic at the same time. And I like that is an element that I really liked. I like that dichotomy a whole lot. But at no point did I think the characters themselves were neither of them are sunshine characters.
So I think she's supposed to be the grumpy one and he's supposed to be the optimistic sunshine. And he is the more face forward of the two of them.
Like, I still want to classify him as sunshine.
I know. Well, we'll talk about that. So there is a meet cute in this. This is a rom-com. It is a slow burn, and it is romantic suspense. The series is called Ruinous Love. These are interconnected standalones. Put-out percentage was 78%. Audio narrators are Lucy River and Joe Arden. It was narrated in duet style. So this styling means that whoever's was, like, if it was a male character, the male narrator spoke his words. If it was a female character, if it was the female character spoke her words. So just a little education. Typically, the reason we don't see more duet, it is twice as costly to produce as dual narration. Because they have to make allowances. And for this actual book, Lucy Rivers flew to Joe Arden and spent a week with him so they could record it in simultaneously together. So it's just, it's pricey. Is there a third act breakup? No. Content warnings, violence on page, murder, and mayhem. So first I want to talk about this as kind of a new subgenre that has popped up. This is absolutely a dark rom-com. It was funny.
It was really funny. The comedy was fantastic.
Yeah, and there was great comedic timing. It was so funny. And one of my favorite movies is Lake Placid. Have you ever watched that movie?
Mm-mm.
It's a giant alligator crocodile that's in a brackish lake in Maine that's like, anyway, it's so good. Oliver Platt is in it. He plays this over-the-top adventure-seeking billionaire. It's so good. But it's one of my favorite movies. It's just funny and dark. People die, get eaten, but it was so funny. And I feel like this author must have, and I'm making an assumption here, must have a strong love of the horror, thriller, movie, TV genre.
Yeah, I can see that. And I think she captured like the horror vibes with the rom-com element so well. That is like the best thing this book did.
Yeah. Like you can tell that she's a fan of Dexter because in that show, he's a serial killer that kills serial killers. But one of the things that if you know that show, because there were also references to Chainsaw, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Psycho, Hannibal. So there was a lot of current pop culture influences. But I will say, in this author's defense, the pop culture references were so subtle, they didn't bug me.
I didn't even catch them.
Well, if you look at the different murders, if you look at the different murders.
That makes sense. Yeah. Well, I mean, I also don't really watch movies, so I don't watch a lot of TV, so I don't know. Like, I'm very deeply out of touch with
That's
pop
okay.
culture. Books, great. Pop culture, like, who's playing baseball today? No one? Okay, I know
You
nothing.
know nothing. I do want to real quick give thoughts on the audiobook before we go into the because I don't want to focus too hard on the audiobook. The production of the audiobook is great. There's no missteps as far as production quality. I really liked Lucy Rivers. She could have narrated this whole book for me. But Joe Arden's choice of using the Irish accent, I didn't love.
Okay, I got so it didn't bother me except that like he used the Irish accent when he's thinking or like narrating the story. And then when there's actual dialogue, a lot of times like the accent would go away. And I did not understand that. Like either it was inconsistent. Anyway, I didn't, the accent itself didn't bother me. I just didn't understand the consistency. Maybe that's just me.
Fair. I will say I did have to listen to this book at 2x speed.
Oh, I can't do that. I am a
Well,
like one
so
time speed listener where I catch nothing.
within the story itself, I had some pacing issues in the story
Oh, yeah.
because the timeline this book is told in is what we call snapshots. So it's one moment, we see that moment, time passes. We see another moment, time, and sometimes it's a year of time passing. So we.
The whole entire, yeah, I did not like the timing was a big issue for me why this book was only okay. The romance, their relationship takes place over 4 years. The timeline of the book is 4 years.
Yeah.
It's a very slow burn.
It's a really slow burn. And the slow burn in this book did not bother me. Because they didn't spend a lot of time together. I
True.
think my problem comes in with this book was the characters themselves. And you and I briefly talked about it as we were starting, if you are going to be so a sociopath, or, crazy enough that you're a serial killer, it would be very difficult to hold every aspect in your life completely perfect. They weren't broken. There was no brokenness to these characters. There was no, to be honest, there was no depth
They
to
were
these characters.
perfectly normal people, except for the fact that they were serial killers. That was my biggest issue with the book. Aside from the timing, was themselves. Their motivation for being serial killers, very weak. The FBI is allegedly hot on their trail for both of them, trying to figure out who they are. And Sloane or Blackbird is leaving all these clues for them with each of her crime scenes. They're very sloppy with their murders, all things considered. And yet, like, for how long they've been doing it, the FBI has never caught them. Like, nobody, Then on top of it, they have so many friends in their groups. Like they have
Well,
very
she
stable.
doesn't. She's antisocial.
She
She has
has one.
Lark.
She has one. But like for both of them, they have people who know what they do. And I just think like with technology, with the way of the world today, like somebody would be able to figure out something with like they didn't really. And part of that is the pacing. Like part of me feeling like they were sloppy is the timing, because you only the way. So what happens with the book, their relationship, there starts with their meet cute at the beginning. Their meet cute, she's been kidnapped, she's being held in a cage. He discovers who she is, he fangirls. It's hysterical. There's a
Hysterical.
dead body in the cage with her. It's
Well,
Louisiana.
she gets caught.
Bayou.
She murders that guy and then gets caught in one of his booby traps. And so she's like stuck there.
Yeah. And then he's like, oh, you want to go to lunch? Like, literally, he's like, so you want to go to lunch? Like, it's great. The meet cute is like, it sets the tone for the comedy and like the horror of the book throughout. So that's a really good kind of like first 5 minutes will give you a very good feel of like what to expect with the rest of the book. But where things progress from there is they start doing a competition each year. So that's why it takes place over years, because the only time they're seeing each other in person is at the competition each year. And
So I think
I
this is
mean,
where it falls apart for me a little bit, because they come to these competitions, and in the style in which the author tells the story, we only see once they've figured it out, at least one of them has figured things out, and they're in the process of murdering or being caught or whatever the person they're hunting. We don't get the buildup, the research, their intelligence, the smartness, that the complexity of their characters. I wanted to see their minds at work. Like, if these are such phenomenal people that are figuring out based on very basic, like regional clues, like this area or something, and this is how they murder, or these are the murders this person's committed, figure it out. I wanted to see the deduction. You know, I wanted to see how they came. So basically, I wanted criminal minds, serial killers, right? Like, I wanted to see them figure out how it was that person and then do the murder. And yes, would that have made it a little bit slower? Yeah, but I would have rather had that than some of the other cutscenes that we did get. Like, when she tries to visit him in Boston and he sends her groceries for cooking lessons.
yeah, I didn't like that. That was so unnecessary. And then, like, I'm sorry. You have the confidence to go out and kill somebody, but you're not actually going to have the confidence to, like,
Knock on a door or speak to him at a restaurant.
when you've already developed a relationship with someone and they've become a trusted confidant. Like, I don't know. And so that's where, like, Sloane really started falling apart for me. Like, as a heroine, I expected her to be a lot stronger than what she was. She was constantly crying. Constantly crying,
She
you know, very
was.
unstable. I like very unstable emotionally. Like, I can kind of see that playing into her character, except like the motive for her becoming a serial killer in the first place was fairly weak. And then, like, for someone who's supposed to be like so put together and badass, she seemed very flimsy.
So now I will say, I do believe this is a debut novel.
Very good for a debut,
It's very good
especially
for a
for
debut. But it doesn't take away some of my grumps about it. And now that it's been picked up by Big Pub, I did have to purchase this. Like, I had to buy this. This wasn't in KU. And I have found that I personally do tend to critique more harshly if I have to put money out for a book. And I don't know if that's unfair or not. That's just the reality of how it is. I will say, I am curious about the next book in the series. Even though overall, I didn't love this. I didn't recommend, I won't recommend it. It's not, I don't understand the hype, but I'm
I don't know.
curious about book two, and I would love to see more in this subgenre. So
I do too.
if this book inspires more dark rom-coms, 10 out of 10, I'm in.
Yeah, so for me, I agree with you. I think part of why I was so harsh is because I shelled out, I think it was like, I mean, at
I had to
least
use an Audible credit.
$14 for the Audible book. I, because it's not in KU. If it's in KU, so I spent more than I do on my whole entire month for books typically for this one. And like for the money that I shelled out for, I definitely don't feel like got the bang for the buck. And I do think that played into why I was as harsh with my critique on it. I enjoyed it. I did enjoy the book, but it was like there was a lot of pacing issues. And I think the approach with the story is really the issue, not necessarily the genre. And I think there's a lot of potential for the next one if she just changes the pacing itself. I
I
don't think
think
the writing was bad because so many of the issues would have been like so many of my issues are attributed or were exacerbated because of the timeline of the story.
and Snapshot is incredibly difficult to do because you are giving us a small window and hoping that the characters are making enough connection and you, as the reader, are making that same connection to those characters that are going to keep you going. And I felt like the middle dragged. I mean, I'm not kidding. I typically listen to 1.2 for an audiobook. This was 2 plus at times. And there was a group of us that read this together, and I believe that there were only 3 out of 11 of us that really loved this book. But again, I think it's the novelty of what it is more so than the actual story.
Well, okay, so part of it is like the climax. It takes a long time to build up to the climax of the story. There's a lot of stuff in there that could have been rewritten or done differently that would have strengthened the story a lot. And I think, you know, the debut novel thing, it really makes sense for me. And I think I'll definitely read the second in the story because I like the horror rom-com concept. Like it was a fresh take, but I just felt like the characters felt flat to me in general, just because of the timing. I had a really hard time getting invested in either of them. And then I got to the halfway point and I was like, how much more time is left in this book? I was expecting it to like start really picking up and like for us to start feeling like the climax is building. We were halfway through. I was like, what? I have that much time left in the book?
So that's our take on The Butcher or Butcher and Blackbird. Anyway, you can find reviews on our website. Lindsay, thanks so much for reading this and reviewing it with me.
Of course, it was so fun.
Until next time, everyone, happy reading.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.